Hello everyone, this is Saturday the 3rd of April and we're going to look today at the lectionary text for this weekend, which is Luke chapter 24 verses 1 to 12, the account of the resurrection of Jesus. Well, we saw last time the account of the entry into Jerusalem of Jesus as the Messiah. We noticed that he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, very clearly announcing himself, if you like, and very clearly presenting himself as the promised Messiah in fulfillment of those ancient prophecies. Behold, your king comes to you, lowly and riding on a donkey. And of course, all the people would have immediately identified with the prophecy as they saw this image of Jesus riding the donkey into Jerusalem. They were shouting, they were cheering, there were shouts of praise and hosanna. They were laying their cloaks before him. They were laying palm branches in the road as he rode into Jerusalem. There was great excitement throughout the whole city. There had been so much talk about Jesus, even before he came to Jerusalem. There was talk about him in Jericho while he was there and before he even came there. All the buzz around the whole of Judea, and particularly now in Jerusalem, because this was the festival of Passover and most people had traveled to the city by this time. There was so much excitement and anticipation throughout the entire city about what Jesus was going to do next. They had heard about the miracles. Some had witnessed miracles. They'd heard his preaching over the last 3.5 years. And what was he going to do next, now that he is announcing himself clearly with this image of him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy? What's going to be the next thing? There was an expectation of a dramatic event. Well, a dramatic event did take place, didn't it? But not the dramatic event that they anticipated. Because by now we will have rehearsed the events surrounding that last evening that he spent with his disciples, the Passover meal that he shared with them in the upper room. Oh, no doubt we've also thought about and rehearsed in our minds and maybe discussed together or read the scriptures concerning the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane following that meeting in the upper room. Remember how Jesus agonized over what he was going to go through. Not just the crucifixion itself and the scourging that preceded it, but of course the fact that he was going to take upon himself the sins of mankind. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And all of the events surrounding the crucifixion, no doubt we've rehearsed those things in our minds just recently. But now we come to the resurrection. Things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. We're going to look first of all at Luke chapter 24 verses 1 to 12, and then maybe a little more into that chapter. As I've been saying, the whole of Jerusalem, and as we've been reading, the whole of Jerusalem witnessed the crucifixion. The whole of Jerusalem witnessed the crucifixion. It was a very public execution. Nobody, though, not even the disciples, nobody witnessed the resurrection. The whole of the city witnessed the crucifixion, but no one witnessed the resurrection. No one saw Jesus raised from the dead. Now, some people did later see him, the resurrected Lord, and spoke to him and heard him speak to them reassuring words and other teaching, as we'll read much later. But nobody, not even his closest disciples, saw the resurrection. So what was their reaction? What did they think then when they first heard the news, or that when they were first made aware that Jesus had been raised? How did they react? How did they respond? Well, the news first came, as we read here in the first verses of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 4, the news first came to the women who visited the tomb. Now, they'd come very early in the morning. They had been, of course, present at the cross. They'd not only witnessed the crucifixion, as everybody had, but they had remained at the cross, some of them, on that afternoon when Jesus was crucified. Now, they'd also seen the place where he was laid. They'd gone to the tomb with Joseph and Nicodemus, others, and they'd seen the place and marked the place in their minds, remembered the place where Jesus was laid. Some had gone to prepare spices before the Sabbath came upon them, because it was late in the afternoon when Jesus was laid to rest. Others remained at the tomb longer. We read of of Mary and others who remained at the tomb and prepared spices later on after the Sabbath had passed. But they came now to the tomb early on the Sunday morning. This was the first opportunity that they'd had to anoint the body of Jesus. As I said, when Jesus was laid to rest, the Sabbath was drawing on. So some made haste to prepare spices in anticipation of them returning on Sunday morning to anoint his body. Others remained at the tomb and prepared spices prepared spices after the Sabbath had passed. And they all came together now on the first day of the week to anoint Jesus' body. As the dawn was breaking, it says here in verse 1 of chapter 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, so just as dawn was breaking, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Mark tells us in his gospel that on the way to the tomb, they had discussed among themselves and debated among themselves exactly how the stone was going to be rolled away. How are we going to get in? They obviously were aware that the tomb had been sealed and that a watch was put over the tomb. Well, maybe they may or may not have been aware of the watch. But when they arrived at the tomb, they found that the stone was already rolled away. That was their first big surprise. Verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Well, they couldn't understand that. Who rolled it away? And what did it mean that the stone had been rolled away? Who rolled it away? Well, we're not told here who rolled the stone away, but Matthew tells us that it was rolled away by angels. Not to let Jesus out, Jesus himself raised himself from the tomb and exited the tomb. By his own power. But the stone was rolled away by the angels, of course, to let people in. Notice verse 3, that they entered and found that there was no body. That was the second big surprise. They had expected to find a dead body there. They'd seen Jesus laid to rest. They'd seen the crucifixion and seen that he had died on the cross and then been carried down. They'd seen him laid in the tomb, dead. And they expected to find, when they came to the tomb, a dead body, or the dead body of Jesus, in the tomb. So they were surprised. They were, as it says here, perplexed. They were confused. What could it possibly mean? Why isn't there a body here? They were confused by the empty tomb. Well, we've seen already in this gospel, as we've been going through Luke's account, that Jesus told his disciples precisely on three separate occasions in this gospel alone exactly what was going to happen to him when he arrived in Jerusalem, that he would be slain, and that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. Three times in this same gospel, he's told them that. But in chapter 18 and verse 34, of course, the point is made that they didn't understand. any of the things that he was saying to them. They understood not the words of Jesus concerning those things. And as they stood there, these women, in the empty tomb, nobody, none of these words that Jesus had previously spoken to them came back to them. They stood there. You would think the first thing they would think of was the prophecy that he had made to them concerning his resurrection, but those words didn't come back to them. They stood there absolutely, totally confused. It was the angels who later explained these things to them, but we'll see that as we go on. But that's how the news came to the disciples and the apostles. The women who had come to the tomb early that morning brought the news to them. The women brought the news to the rest of the disciples and to the apostles, verses 9 to 11. They'd been with the Lord continually for 3.5 years, many of them, many of the disciples, all the apostles have. They'd listened to him often. They had witnessed the miracles that he had performed. They'd heard his powerful teaching on many occasions, even recently in the temple precincts. Jesus had been preaching, and they had been drawn to his words. His words had often rung in their ears. They had been with him and listened to him and watched him for years now. And they had heard him say, the disciples and particularly the apostles, had heard him say repeatedly, "After 3 days, I will rise again." Just like the women, they had heard Jesus on a number of occasions prophesy concerning not only his death, but also his resurrection. But when the women brought the news, verse 10, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So the women brought the news of the empty tomb and the stone rolled away, and what they now believed, we'll come to that later, to the apostles and to the other disciples. But look at how they reacted in verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Isn't that amazing? First of all, isn't it amazing that the women arrived at the tomb, and when they found no body there, the first thing they thought wasn't Jesus' prophecy concerning his resurrection? Isn't it equally amazing that when they brought the news, and by this time they believed, by the way, we'll come to that later, when they brought the news of the resurrection to the apostles and the other disciples, isn't it amazing that given what Jesus had said over the course of the last 3.5 years and even more recently, had told them very specifically and pointedly on at least 3 separate occasions, but probably more, that he would be raised from the dead? Isn't it amazing that the first thing that came to their minds when they heard the news from the women was that Jesus has been resurrected exactly as he said he would be? But no, it says here in verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales. Well, they were only women after all. What would they know? And they believed them not. They didn't believe them. Didn't accept their word. The women spoke believingly, as we'll see, but they believed nothing of what they said. They thought it was a lot of nonsense, as if Jesus could have been raised from the dead. There must be some explanation, though. And so Peter and John run to the tomb, don't they? Peter finally coming to the tomb and going inside. John outrunning Peter, but stopping just before the open mouth of the tomb. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself, notice that, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. In other words, wondering what on earth could all this mean. He still didn't understand. He looks in, he sees the grave clothes. The Apostle John in his gospel, of course, tells us a little bit more about the grave clothes, that they were undisturbed. They were lying exactly as they had been lying when they were wrapped around the body of Jesus, but now there was no body, but the grave clothes, undisturbed, were still there, still tightly wrapped, as if around a body, but no body present. Well, he marveled at the sight. He marveled at the empty tomb. He marveled at the grave clothes, Peter did, but he had no idea what on earth does all of this mean. He still didn't believe that Jesus had been raised. Whatever discussions the disciples had when they heard this news, they didn't know what to make of what they'd seen and what they'd heard. Although the women by this time, of course, did believe. Two disciples we read of later on, and we'll come to them next time also, so we'll just read a few things in brief here, or look at a few things in brief. But two of those disciples who were present when the women brought the news, and we don't know if these were two men or maybe a husband and wife, one of them we know is called Cleopas or Cleopas, but they had been present when the women brought the news. The believing women had brought the news. They heard them. They also, like the other disciples and the apostles, must have concluded, but these are just idle tales, and believe them not. They'd also heard how Peter had and John had run to the tomb, how they'd found the grave clothes. They'd heard all of that too. And yet they were still unbelieving and despondent and dejected and depressed. They'd given up. They decided that there's no point in staying around. And so they made the journey to a town 7 miles away called Emmaus. Chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So they talked about the things that had transpired in a dejected way, in a depressed fashion, in the sense of disappointment, great disappointment. They couldn't believe that Jesus had been taken and crucified, that he was still dead. They didn't accept the fact that he was raised. They talked about the women bringing the news, but regarded them as idle tales and so on. They had no idea what was taking place. But Jesus comes alongside them, doesn't he? And listens to their conversation. And asks them, what are you talking about? Why the long faces? What's the problem? Well, they couldn't believe the question. Are you the only person who doesn't know? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? But the whole city knows what's happened. There's talk everywhere about it. How can you not know? How come you haven't heard the news? Are you the only stranger? Don't you know? Verses 19 to 20. Don't you know what's been happening? Don't you know what's been taking place? This Jesus who we believed was the Messiah, the one that God had sent to save Israel. And now he's dead. We thought he was the fulfillment of all that the prophecies that the prophets had spoken. Verse 18. Haven't you known the things which have come to pass in Jerusalem in these days? Verse 19, and he said to them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. Notice verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now is the time that he said he'd be raised from the dead, but he hasn't been. We haven't seen him, so we don't believe. And this had been the general reaction to the news, hadn't it? Unbelief. This had been the general reaction from the women when they first went to the tomb and found it empty. This was the reaction from the disciples when the women brought the news to them of what they had seen and heard. Not only what they had seen, the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, but also what they had heard of the angels who appeared to them and spoke to them. Still, the response was unbelief. The same with Peter. Until, of course, Jesus revealed himself to them. Now, notice how Jesus worked with them all very differently and led them to believe, finally. Let's go back to the women in verse 4 of Luke chapter 24. Notice how he led the women to believe. Luke chapter 24 and verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Jesus had sent two angels to them as they stood there in the empty tomb. Verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you know that Jesus said he would be raised from the dead the third day? So why are you coming here? Why come to a tomb when you're looking for somebody who is alive? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. Why would you expect him to be here? What are you doing here? This is a place for dead people. No, he isn't here. He's risen. And notice verse 7. From verse 6 and 7. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee? That's how far back these prophecies of Jesus go, when he told them what was going to happen to him. Even when they were in Galilee, he told them, verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day, that's today, be raised from the dead, would rise again. And wonderful verse 8, wonderful statement of verse 8, and they remembered his words. That's how the women were brought to believe in the truth of the resurrection. They still hadn't seen Jesus, but they had been reminded of his words, and his words convinced them as they were brought to mind. Yes, they remembered him saying that. They remembered Jesus talking about the fact that he would be raised again the third day. Remember how he told you? Well, yes. They remembered, and they were convinced, even though they still hadn't seen him yet. Well, Jesus also brought the apostles and the other disciples to believe? How did he do that? Verses 9 to 11, they'd received the report from the women, but they didn't believe it. They regarded those reports as idle tales, nonsense. However, dropping down to verse 24 of Luke chapter 24, we find that Jesus had appeared to Simon privately. We're not given any information about it here, but he appeared to Simon privately. And Simon told the others, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." So Jesus appeared to Simon privately, so Simon believed, and his word, his experience, his account convinced the others. Simon had earlier, of course, heard the report of the women. I didn't believe them, but it took a personal appearance of Jesus to confirm to him. Remember, we're talking about Simon Peter, the lead apostle. But it still took a personal appearance from Jesus to convince him of the fact of the resurrection, that Jesus had been truly raised from the dead. It took a personal appearance to convince him that the resurrection had taken place. Well, what about you and me? Do we believe that Jesus is raised from the dead? Do we believe in a risen Lord? How firmly do you and I believe that Jesus is indeed raised from the dead and ascended to the Father and interceding for us and will return to us? How firmly do we believe these things? We haven't seen him. We haven't seen the risen Lord. Look at John's Gospel, just in closing. John chapter 20. Remember how Jesus had appeared to the disciples following the events that we've just been reading in Luke. Jesus appeared to all the disciples. Thomas, though, wasn't present. And of course, his personal appearance confirms in all of them belief in the resurrection, but Thomas wasn't there. And so he didn't still believe. Not until I see the marks of the nails in his hands and feel the wound of the spear in his side will I believe. Well, notice verse 29 of John chapter 20. Verse 29. "And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they." He's talking now about you and I. You and I. "Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." It's comforting news for us, isn't it? And a great commendation from Jesus to you and I, that even though we've never seen him yet, we yet still believe that he is the risen Lord. Thanks for listening.